Good morning. How you doing? I love, absolutely love baptism mornings. I don't know if you brought any of these this morning, but who was like sniffling and needed a handkerchief this morning? It's just amazing to see the changed lives, stories of people, don't you think? And the fact that Jesus still heals. The fact that he still restores lives. Come on, church, wake up. You guys online, I can see you shouting in your living rooms right now. That it's just awesome to be in a place where you just see the reality of change. It's just, there's no other thing that I know of, no other person that I know of that changes lives like Jesus changes lives. You know, the hardest criminal, the softest person, the anyone in between, you know, to hear those stories of changed life just does it totally for me. And I'm in buckets every time it happens. That doesn't taste like water. I don't know what they put in there. But it's good. It's rocket fuel. So we start a new series this morning. Everyone go, yay! Can I just kind of be very honest with you this morning? Is that okay? You know, I don't get called pastor much because I'm not into titles, but I suppose some of the things I'm going to say this morning are a little bit pastoral, believe it or not. And this year, I don't know whether I celebrate this or not, but I've been leading this church community for a quarter of a century at the end of this year. And it's like, oh my word, where did those years go? And some of you have journeyed all of those years and more with us here at today's community church. And so I wanted to say some stuff in this new series just to get us off the ground a little bit. And to say this and to level with you this morning, you know, never underestimate the importance of core values in your life. Don't underestimate those things. They're not just a plaque on the wall. You won't see any plaque on the wall in this building with them on. But, you know, never underestimate the power of values. I want to say this to you. You are actually what you value. The sum total of your life mirrors the very things that you value the most in life. From what you say, to what you don't say, to what you wear. It speaks of the values that you carry in your life. Your life flows out of what you value. Everyone say value. You give money to what you value. Everybody knows Mr. or Mrs. Gadget. Just look at the things they carry. That's where their money goes. Look at people who like certain types of clothing. That's where their money goes. We give money to the things that we value. We give time to the things that we value most in our life. Values are a big deal. Values orchestrate your life. They run your life. I may come to your house today if I was invited, and your values of life may not be written on your living room wall, but I tell you something, there is an indelible mark of your values written on the wall of your heart. Values are a big, big deal. If your life was an orchestra, then the conductor would be values. I want to make an observation and then read you a story. Here goes the observation. It's our values. Everyone say our values. It's our values that have shaped this church community over the last 25 years. It is those same values that have transitioned it into what she is today. And it is the same values from which Our culture has been formed and informed. It's the values, the core values. I want to read you a story from Scripture taken out of a book in the Old Testament that is traditionally believed that the prophet Jeremiah wrote, the first book of Kings. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think of the reality of the stories that are in Scripture, some of them are so emotive. You read them and you think, what? This is in Scripture, and this is such a story. This is the prophet Jeremiah reading about the wisdom of King Solomon, and gives a scenario here about two women and two babies. Listen carefully to the story. It reads, sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. Please, my lord, one of them began, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. And then 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. Must have been catching. We were alone, and there were only two of us in that house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me whilst I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But then when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. And then the other woman interrupted. It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. No, the first woman said, the living child is mine, and the dead one is yours. And so they argued back and forth before the king. Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right then, the king said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. And then he said, cut the living child in two parts and give half to one woman and half to the other. Truly a harsh truth test going on. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child, who loved very much the child, cried out. She said, oh no, my lord. Oh no, your majesty, give the child to her. Give her the child. Please don't kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will never be yours and he will never be mine. Divide him between us. How many know hurt people hurt people? Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live. For indeed, she is the mother. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given to him for rendering justice. Wow. I want to say some things about this story, some very simple things that I believe have quite a profound meaning to us if we take them to ourselves. This story, I believe, is about the value of versus the values of. The value of versus the values of. You see, to the woman who lost her child in this scenario, it became about the value. She'd lost something. She was in grief. This woman was in distress, but this situation became about value. You see, in her loss, she wanted to leave the situation with something, just something of value. And in her plight, in this situation, she just began to act in an irrational way, in an illogical kind of framework that you would never believe. Started to do some crazy things, lying to the king, stealing babies, being okay with the baby being cut up, all kinds of stuff that she did within her loss. It was bizarre. And I don't know about you, but you know when I look at the pandemic, you know, there's all different levels in this, but to the level of what is bizarre, all kinds of people have done some pretty bizarre stuff during the pandemic, made some illogical decisions. Not many amens are going on. Some stuff that you may have done that you know others that have done, and you just can't make sense of the decisions that they've made. As opposed to the other woman, the woman whose child it really was, the one who had the living child, I believe her values clearly manifest in this situation. And despite the potential for her losing her loved child, her treasured possession, despite the fact that she could have lost everything that she had, her values held out. There was something in her, innately, some values that she lived to that didn't change because of the circumstances. One of those values was certainly the sanctity of life. Another one of those was justice, even if it was against her and the outcome wouldn't fit her or value her. She was willing to go for justice. There were some values that she lived by that wouldn't change. Yeah, it's true, isn't it, that we obsess over trivial loss. Don't you think? Well, what do you mean, Dave? I mean, like when you lose your phone. You know, I mean, what is that about? If I lose my phone, you know, it's the end of life. Because I always have my phone with me. It's a mobile phone. It means it goes with me wherever I go. That's why it's a mobile phone. So when I lose my mobile phone and I say to my wife, Helen, I say, love, have you seen my phone? I've lost my phone. She says, no, I've not seen it. I said, well, why are you so blasé about my phone? Can you look with me? No, why are you so bothered about your phone? Give it a rest. I said, I've not seen it for 3 minutes. And I'm searching everywhere for my phone. And you've been there as well, and you're searching the house, and you're thinking, where did I last have the phone? And then I said, oh, great idea. I'll ask Helen to ring my phone. So I say, Helen, will you just ring it? Oh, all right then. Notice she's got her phone. So she rings my phone. Nothing. And then you remember, I'll put it on silent. Anybody been there? And so eventually, after an hour or so, I think, okay, maybe it's somewhere else. I go in my car and it's sat in my car. Anybody lost your car keys? What is it about car keys that just go missing? And we obsess over it. It's like, have you seen my car keys? No, I've not seen them. Are they not in the cupboard where we're supposed to hang car keys? No, I've been there and they're not there. Well, why didn't you hang them up? I don't know why I didn't hang them up. They're just not there. And so you're searching everyone indeed in the house for your car keys. Who's had my car? I'm going to be late now. It's like, you were going to be late anyway, but now I've lost my car keys. It's going to make me even more late and more infuriated. And so you keep looking for your car keys. How many have ever put your car keys into the bin, posting some rubbish and forgetting that your car keys went in the bin? I know someone who's very close to me who's very good at doing those things. And so we lose our car keys. But the worst one, of course, is the credit card. Okay, how many of you lost a credit card? It's like, this is now a big deal. This is not trivial anymore. And so some of you are thinking, okay, where did I last have my credit card? Where did I last buy something? And so you kind of make your way back to M&S to get your card and see if it's been... No, you make your way back to B&M to see if your card's still there. some of you would go back to M&S. And you ask, have you seen my card? And no one's seen your card, and you're stressing and you're obsessing over the loss of your card until eventually you find it down the side of your sofa. That's the last time you did an internet transaction on your card. We've all been there, and we all tend to obsess over trivial things. But let me tell you something. Loss can have a profound effect on your life. Loss, different levels of loss. You know, we think of great loss, like in this story. We think of lesser, trivial loss, like a phone or anywhere in between. It can have a profound effect on us to the point, and here's my point, that we quickly replace long-held values for a sense of value. We're looking for some value in the situation. Many people were looking for, I don't know, just some sense of value in all the stuff of the pandemic and all that that caused, and understand that there was loss within the pandemic. And we're looking for something of value in something that's not a great situation, and we're feeling the loss. The reality is lockdown losses have affected people. I wonder, what did you lose? What did you lose? Some of us lost time. Some of you lost your job. Some of you lost opportunity. Others of us lost confidence. I spoke to a lady, a mother in our church community, just about during lockdown, about where her family were up to. She says, my daughter yesterday had total meltdown. This is just like bright young girl. Had total meltdown on the basis of how education was and how she had to do that during the pandemic. Lost it. Just had a total meltdown. For some of you, you've lost confidence. For some of you, even more sadly, you lost a loved one. Some of us, some of you out there, and some of you even further afield online this morning, you lost your way during the pandemic. Some of you missed and lost community, whilst others of you lost total connection. And it's amazing that when we are in this place of loss, and maybe we only wake up to this as someone shares it with us, even this morning, when we think about that loss, and maybe you haven't even thought about it in this way until now, but you lost something, and suddenly your decisions became a little bit irrational during that time. That some of those things that you made a decision on may have even been made out of a sense of fear. That some obscure decisions that you made and directional decisions maybe for your life because of loss, because of grief, because of hurt. And my point is, as I try and wrap this up this morning, is that in these times, often in times like these, we tend to grab on to things that bring a measure of comfort and a measure of value. We look for those things in other things. But that's what we do. We try and find value, let me say, in someone else's baby. In someone else's value. We see a little bit obscurely, and our values can be tested to the very core of what they have been. And how quickly our core values can dissipate, can dilute into something because of some other life we see, because of some value we've seen, or trying to bring back ourselves from a sense of loss that has been caused by something that we didn't put in place. So we go and try and find a new life, a new way of life, doing something different. Here's a question. What brought today's community church through the pandemic in such a healthy condition? Because I want to tell you, this church is in a healthy condition. I look around and I travel. I used to travel. But I look around and I have friends who lead churches. I want to tell you, this church is in a very healthy position. Thank God that God has brought us through. And you may say, well, why would he bring us through and not other churches? Surely we're all part of the kingdom. Absolutely right. And isn't God for them? No, he's for them. So why have we come through in such a healthy condition? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how we haven't. Because we didn't jump on any fad or trend. During the pandemic of lockdown and difficult decisions to make for the church community, there were lots of things that we could have done and lots of things that we didn't do. And we can argue the rights and wrongs of some of those things this morning, and I know that we could have 1,000 opinions on those things. But the fact is, we didn't jump on crisis express train. But what we did do very, very clearly, we held on and we got through, and I believe we prospered and are in a prosperous place today, both with people, with finance, with where we are. I want to tell you guys, we are in a healthy place. And the reason that we are in that place today, I believe we did it by staying true to our core values. That we wouldn't be shifted by trends or fads. But we stayed true, I believe, to who God's called us to be. The reason I talk about fads and, you know, crisis express and those things is so that we understand how important it is that we keep hold of our values. That we don't let them dissipate or dilute, but we keep strong to who we are. You know what? You don't jump ship in a storm. You know, if you do, you're an idiot. You don't jump ship in a storm. Not unless your name's Jonah. You know, and you're thrown off and there's a big fish waiting to rescue you. You know, if you get that kind of word from the Lord, then I'm following you. But otherwise, you do not jump ship in the storm. And I just want to be honest with you and say, you know, some people jump ship. Some people, like many of you, weren't part of this community. You were, but in the sense of gathering together, we couldn't gather together for a period of time, and then it was longer, and then it was longer, and it negated, and it became longevity, and some of us made some pretty poor decisions. Some of us were feeling the loss. Some of that list that I brought to you, you were feeling strongly, and you started to make illogical decisions for your life, and today you are nursing someone else's baby. You're finding value in that stuff. I believe that COVID-19 has shown up the church for who she really is. The authenticity of who we are, both together and individually, who we're called the church of Jesus Christ. Some of you are expecting some more people. You know, maybe some particular people to come back into the gathering, into the church community. Let me tell you, they're not coming. And yet on the other side, I look and I think, as we've gathered together, I see more and more faces that I've never seen before in my whole life. God is building his church, people. He's building his church, and the very gates of hell won't stand against it. Seriously. And the only thing that we really have to cling on to are the core values of the kingdom of God. Following Him in simplicity, obeying His word, and not trying to find some replacement, not trying to replace something that is dead or maybe has been dead in our life, and trying to find another life and trying to replace it with that, but sticking close to our values. Let me finish with this. Values will always keep you where trends leave you. Values will always keep you where trends leave you. Let me say, hold on to your values. Whatever the cost. You know, it could have cost that woman her own child for the sake of not seeing it slain. She believed in the sanctity of life. She believed in some core values. There were some things that, drove her life. It wasn't on any fad or situation. Even if it was going to cost her her prized possession, she would hang on to the values that God had placed in her. Hold on to your values. Values are a really big deal. And they are the very thing that shape your life. That's why over the next several weeks, we're going to look into this whole subject and just open it up and give us a chance to just fill our lives again with kingdom values. You know, the kingdom of God, basically what that means is the rule of God. Kingdom is made up of two words, king and domain. Kingdom, king's domain. And the kingdom is the king's domain. It's where the king rules. And I don't know about you, but I want the king's values to rule in my heart and in the heart of my family and in the heart of this community. And so we're going to take a look at these things. Come on, let's stand for a moment. We're going to sing. We've already had someone who's been very ably brought some people closer to Jesus this morning. We thank you, God, that you have called your people. And so we're going to pray, and then the band are going to lead us in song. But I just want to say, if anything, this morning, hold on to those core values. Hold on to those things. Let's not go for the value in our loss. God understands our loss. He understands the grief. He understands the pain. But it will be the core values that will hold us. Will your anchor hold? Yes, it will. If you hold on to the values of Jesus, it will. And so we pray in the name of Christ. Lord, will you help us to both understand you, and as we hear, understand your values, to understand who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. We ask you in the name of Christ just to, Lord, would you bring clarity? Lord, if there's any confusion this morning, would you bring clarity? In its simplicity, would you help us understand the difference between going for value, Lord, and living to values? Thank you for core values. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, you show them to us. Lord, you did it, Lord, by dying on the cross. The very thing that you valued the very most took you to the cross. For the joy. Joy and what a picture, church. What a picture of joy and agony together. It's like, wow, another emotive thing in the scriptures. Joy and agony. That Jesus carried joy even in his agony on the cross, because he knew that agony would bring your freedom. And so we say, thank you, Jesus. Help us in our learning over these next few weeks, Lord, and would you speak to our hearts, Lord, in the name of Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.